Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship in the ministry of bbfohio.com and our study of Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28, titled Jesus and the Sabbath. We had covered these verses a couple of years ago and were unable to upload the video due to technical difficulties. So we've revisited the text and are glad to be able to provide this study and add it to our collection of expository studies of the Gospel of Mark. So let's join part one of our two-part study of Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28, Jesus and the Sabbath.
There are 140 messages. They're all 30-minute messages, and 143, I think, as of now. And I've told you a few weeks ago that we're going to revisit a few of the messages because of technical difficulties. We didn't get them recorded, so there are a few little gaps in the study of Mark. And what I want to do is, interchanging with our Revelation studies, we're going to go a little back and forth, and I'm going to go through some of these studies of Mark, and a lot of you weren't here for those. And so I would encourage you to take what you get here on Wednesday and then go online and jump into the studies of the whole Gospel of Mark. And all I can tell you is it was an incredible journey for me. You know, I have to study every verse in order to teach every verse. And so I'm getting filled up through the week and about to bust. And then I have to come in here and try to fit it into a decent, you know, allotted amount of time to give you a message. And God's Word is incredible. Amen. You could, if you wanted to, you could take phrases of God's Word and go through books and take 10 years going through a single book. And if you wanted to do that. And there are some preachers who have actually done that. I try not to be overkill, or I also have told you, I try not to be the Holy Spirit and tell you everything you ever need to know from the Bible.
That's right.
Our purpose here is to give you the basic truth, and then anything else the Lord lays on my heart to share with you, you in turn listen and test it. Acts 17:11, you test what I'm teaching you by the Word of God. That then teaches you so that then you can go home and read your Bible every day. And I'm going to tell you again, and I don't care who I upset when I say this, if you don't read that book every day of your life, that day that you don't read that book, if you're not sick and incapacitated, I almost said decapitated, if you're not incapacitated in some way, you're backslidden.
Amen.
I got a few amens out of that.
Amen.
The Bible says that the man who's blessed will meditate on his law day and night. And over the scripture says, every day I'm in his word. You should be walking with the Lord daily. Just as surely as I make sure when I wake up in the morning, one of the first things I like to do is get a smooch for my wife.
Amen.
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 I'm married. I'm allowed to do that. I only got two amens on that. But you know who else I like to get up close and personal with? Jesus.
Amen.
And if there's a day where you wake up in the morning and you don't want to be close to Jesus, that's the day you need Him most.
Amen.
And so that's what the whole point of our study is. I hope you get that. We're in Mark chapter 2 this evening. Mark chapter 2, we're going to cover verses 23 to 28. All right, Mark chapter 2, we're going to begin in verse 23 and read through 28. Read that with me. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have ye never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Now, sinful men in this text, as we just read, will challenge the God of heaven with the very law that He gave us. Mm-hmm. Imagine that. Now, how many times have you had somebody say that they basically, they don't believe in God because they think what God does is wrong? You hear it all the time. With the whole gay thing that Tracy mentioned earlier, is they don't accept God's law. They're going to tell God what's right and wrong.
Yeah.
How can you condemn love? Because it's not really love. That's my answer. And there are people who claim that, well, I can't believe in a God who would send people to hell. Well, number one, God's not sending anybody to hell. They go there by their choice.
Yeah.
Number two, you don't understand the holiness of God.
Amen.
See, people who don't believe in hell don't accept the biblical truth of the holiness of God. God is holy, period, completely. He cannot be in the midst of sin. In heaven, He will not allow sin into His presence. Therefore, only those who are saved by the blood of Christ, who have been redeemed and made holy, not by their works, but by the work of Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit and the imputed righteousness of Christ, which is ours by faith, that way we're made holy, and that way we can then go into His presence. Otherwise, you can't go in.
Amen.
It's the equivalent of trying to go into a nuclear radiation facility without one of those suits on.
Amen.
If you walk in there without that suit on, you will die. If you walk in with the suit on, if it's a good suit, you will survive. Well, in God's presence, there's only one suit, and that is the righteousness of Christ.
Amen.
And so there's only one place for you to go if you don't get in the suit, in the righteousness of Christ, and go to heaven. Hell is the only option.
Mm-hmm.
And you've gone there by your own choice. And so that's the kind of nonsense and insanity that you're seeing here with these Pharisees, who, by the way, I've mentioned this before, when they stand before God on Judgment Day, they're going to admit that they knew who they were dealing with.
Amen.
They were fighting against what they knew to be true.
Yeah.
And they're going to admit it. And everybody you know, all your loved ones, you say, oh, they're such good people, I can't see how God could send them to hell. Well, they're not good people. Jesus says that they hate the truth. The Bible, Jesus in John 3 said that they have rejected or hated the light and loved darkness because their deeds are evil. John 3:19. And so even those good people you think are so good, when you see them on Judgment Day, you're going to find out they weren't so good. And you're going to find out that in the presence of the holiness of God, without the righteousness of Christ, they are going to look like a pile of what Isaiah called filthy rags, which is menstrual cloths. We won't go into detail. You're going to be a nasty mess standing there in front of God without the righteousness of Christ.
Yeah.
And that's what these guys are going to admit when they stand before God. And in verse 23, see Jesus and His followers walking on the Sabbath, and all they're doing is picking and eating kernels of grain because they're hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Look down there at verse 23, where we just read, and it came to pass that He went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day. And His disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. They're just hungry, so they're eating. And then verse 24 is in their ignorance, and it's willful, by the way, willful ignorance, these Bible-rejecting Pharisees confront Jesus. Look what happens there. And the Pharisees said unto Him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? Did you know they really don't care about the law? They actually weren't even Bible believers. They weren't following the Bible. They followed what we would call the Babylonian Talmud. They were following man-made laws. They were following traditions of men and calling it law. There were all kinds of... Remember, Jesus talked to them about that thing they called Korban.
Yeah.
Well, you don't find that in Scripture, obviously. And there's all kinds of those such things where Jesus talked about how they were so worried about the washing of hands and washing of pots. Those were all sorts of extra-biblical, extracurricular things that they had added to the Bible. And what you're seeing is the equivalent of making a citizen's arrest of the Supreme Court Chief Justice. That's it. His name's Roberts.
Yeah.
It's just like you walking up and arresting Justice Roberts as a citizen, and you're wrong. All right? Now, if you catch Justice Roberts or anybody breaking the law, did you know you have a right as a citizen to detain that person and call the cops? And that's called a citizen's arrest. But if you're wrong, that could be unlawful detainment, even kidnapping. So you better make sure you're all right when you do that. Well, it's a little fuzzy.
What are you yelling about? Like you said, you broke the law by making an illegal U-turn, and I hereby, the citizens of the United States of America, arrest.
See, Barney was abusing his power.
Yes.
And so Gomer was trying to teach him a lesson there. And now, in this case, actually, Gomer was right and Barney was wrong. Uh-huh. Barney had done a U-turn after he just tried to arrest Gomer for doing the same thing. So that's where you and I better be careful when we try to become the law. Because when you, hey, if you see someone doing something that's against the Word of God, and you don't have a condemning response, but you simply confront them, that's biblical. That's your duty. If you see someone in sin and you don't lovingly confront them, you're actually sinning.
Amen.
Now think about that. I'm going to say something that's very offensive right now. Evangelicalism today is Antichrist.
Right.
Yes. They use the Antichrist new versions,
yep,
and they preach an Antichrist doctrine that says, don't judge. The Bible does not say don't judge with a period at the end.
Amen.
It says not to judge hypocritically. Don't point out someone else has a speck in their eye when you have a mote in your own. But it says first pull out the mote, that way then you can see to help your brother about the speck in their eye. Evangelicals today preach an Antichrist doctrine that says don't judge. If you don't judge and you don't lovingly confront those in sin, you are in sin.
Amen.
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 So in that case, we want to be like Gomer. But in reality, Gomer's a homo, so don't, you know. Yeah, Jim Neighbors came out of the closet. He's queer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he said after all these years.
So in this case that you just saw in the video, Gomer was right, Barney was wrong, but it's not so with Jesus.
Amen.
In this text, look back down in your text there in verses 25 and 26, Jesus is going to point out what the Pharisees missed in their zeal, watch this, to use the Bible as a billy club to beat him with. They did not confront Jesus lovingly because they were concerned about Him. They were trying to use the Bible to undermine Him. In verses 25 and 26, and He said unto them, have ye never read? Amen. Folks, you just learned something that I hope you got, because this is big time. When you're dealing with people today, right there's the answer 99% of the time when you're confronted or confronting others.
Mm-hmm.
Have ye not read? The answer is no. People don't know the Bible. And even when they know the Bible, as far as knowing what it says, they don't treat it right. They don't rightly divide it. They want to use it. See, there's a big difference. Read verse 25 with me. And He said unto them, have ye never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him? Verse 26, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. This is an Old Testament story. We don't have time to run back. You need to make note and go back and read this on your own. But David was running from Saul, and he's hungry. And he goes into the temple and eats the showbread. He asked the priest, what do you got? And he goes, well, all we have is this showbread over here. And it wasn't supposed to be eaten by anybody but the priest. And the priest gave it to him. And it is, Paul talked about this, and he said, talked about going by the spirit of the law rather than the letter of the law. Mm-hmm. And what people with the wrong attitude will always operate with the letter of the law. No. People with the right attitude will operate in the spirit of the law. Amen. Now, it's still the spirit of the law and not just the spirit and saying, oh, I heard a voice and it told me to do this. Oh, I'm seeing visions and it's telling me to do this. It's based on the Word of God. But you go by the spirit of the Word of God and not by the letter. Mm-hmm. And what that means is what we're seeing here is there's a time where, all right, you're supposed to go to church. But you know what, folks? Don't get all super spiritual. And if your boss says you have to work today and you just look and say, no, you can shove it. I'm going to church because I'm spiritual.
You know, a lot of people...
Let me finish, Martha. Sorry. You are going to lose your job and you deserve to lose your job. Amen. There is no Bible law that says you should not go to work on Sunday. Did you know that?
That's right.
Man has set up Sunday as a Sabbath. We're going to see in a minute, there is no Sabbath today, folks.
Right.
There's no Sabbath.
That's right.
And trying to make Sunday Sabbath, if you're going to have a Sabbath, go down the street to the Seventh-day Church and go with them because that's the Sabbath, is Saturday.
Amen.
But it's not Sabbath for the Gentile in the church age.
Amen.
And it's not Sabbath for the Jew who's saved in the church age.
Amen.
You see, man has made something that doesn't really exist scripturally. There's these Sunday laws. You ever heard of them? And you'll hear people say that that's been the downfall of America because everything's open on Sunday. No, that's a symptom.
Right.
The problem is that so many people are so lost that the churches are empty and they want to be other places than church on Sunday.
Yeah.
But see, Sunday laws are not biblical.
Amen.
But for everybody to be in church, therefore the bar and even the restaurant and the grocery store doesn't bother to open on Sunday because they know everyone's in church. That's the spirit. But when you go by the legalism and by the letter of the law, you just declare a law and tell all the pagans they can't have their stores open on Sunday. That's wrong.
Amen.
You see that? You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
There's a right way to do the right thing. There's also a wrong way to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And people have been doing the right thing the wrong way in this country for a long time.
Right.
And that's one of the examples. Now, the difference between a Bible believer and a Pharisee is in the heart.
Amen.
And let me tell you today, if you try to take a stand for the Word of God, people are going to accuse you of being a Pharisee.
Yeah.
How many of you have ever been accused of being a Pharisee? Yeah, I see that hand. Amen. You know, I'm just telling you, think it through and learn to respond by saying, no, actually, you're the Pharisee. Because the Pharisee rejected the Bible for their own tradition. They're calling us Pharisees for standing with the Bible and not compromising.
Amen.
That's not a Pharisee.
Amen.
A Pharisee changes the Bible to suit their own tradition.
Yep.
So actually, those who are supporting gay marriage are Pharisees, if they're doing so especially in the name of religion. Those who are changing the Bible in order to fit their lifestyle in any way. That's what the Pharisees did. And the difference is, in the heart, the Pharisee really doesn't care about the Bible. They use the Bible in as much as they have to in order to push their own agenda. A Christian believes the Bible. Did you get that?
Amen.
We've talked about it. We can give you examples of preachers who said, I use the King James Version. Yeah, you use it like toilet paper. Amen. Then there are those preachers who believe the King James Bible. Big difference. Pharisees use the Bible to back up their own opinions and traditions. They do not believe the Bible and they don't teach it with a desire to change lives for God and for the sake of Jesus Christ, especially today. They are wanting to use the Bible for their own agenda. Look over at Matthew chapter 5. Just turn back a few pages. Matthew chapter 15. And we're going to see, for starters, that in Matthew chapter 15, verse 3, when tradition or opinion is placed above Scripture, it causes transgression. It causes transgression. Matthew 15 and verse 3, if you're there, read it. "But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" When you add tradition and it supersedes Scripture, that is transgression. And there are whole denominations built on that. And I'm not just talking about the Roman Catholic Church. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Man, they're just maybe one of the older, you know, gangs in the game. But these other Protestant denominations, all the cults, they, what do you think, sprinkling and pouring people and calling it baptism? The word means immersion. They don't care. And most of those will take Acts 2:38 and make it the gospel and tell you to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. You're not saved by taking a bath, folks.
Amen.
You're saved by the blood.
Amen.
And after you're saved, go get baptized to make a profession.
Amen.
Just like we saw Sunday.
Amen.
And when you do what these churches and these cults do, you are transgressing just by doing that. I'm not saying they're all going to hell. Don't get mad at me if you've got a bunch of Presbyterian relatives. If they believe the gospel, they're going to heaven, but they're transgressing when they sprinkle and pour their people and call it baptism.
Amen.
There's going to be a lot of Christians in heaven in spite of themselves. As a matter of fact, all of us. Turn over a few more pages. Mark chapter 7. We're going to run just a few verses here. Mark chapter 7. And verse 9. And we're going to see here that when tradition or opinion is placed above Scripture, then you are rejecting the command of God. It's not as soft as people make it out to be. It's, oh, well, they're just kind of putting tradition above the Scripture. And no, you are flat out rejecting. Look at it. Verse 9. Matthew or Mark chapter 7, verse 9. Read it. "And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, ye may keep your own tradition." Let that sink in. And folks, let's not just talk about the Presbyterians tonight. Let's just not talk about the Catholics. Let's talk about ourselves.
Amen.
If you got something in your mind, something in your life that is not in line with Scripture, and then you keep doing it, you are rejecting the command of God in order to keep your tradition.
Thank you. Till I go home.